And welcome to In My Downtown, a podcast by the Michigan Downtown Association, where we feature stories about projects and programs benefiting Michigan's awesome downtowns. This is Annette Knowles. In this episode, I had the pleasure of discussing the revitalization and placemaking program with Lori Mullins, Managing Director of Community Development Incentives from the Michigan Economic Development Corporation. Let's listen in.
And Lori is with us today to talk about RAP. And we'll get into more about what RAP is in just a moment. But first, let me welcome Lori. How are you today?
Doing well, Annette. Thank you.
Yeah. How are things in Lansing right now?
It's sunny and I'll take it. It's a great day in Lansing.
Yeah, we always appreciate it when spring approaches after these long Michigan gray winters.
Yes, absolutely.
Okay. Well, I'm going to get started right off with asking about RAP. So could you talk a little bit about what RAP is and why is the program being offered?
Well, as you know, the COVID-19 pandemic has had a tremendous impact on communities across the state. It's changed so many aspects of our lives, including the location where we work, vacancy rates in Michigan's downtowns and commercial business districts. We understand that 25 to 30% of the workforce will be working from home multiple days per week post-pandemic. And there are many potential negative impacts to Michigan cities if office space is vacant and business districts lose vitality, including additional loss of restaurants and retailers. We also understand that the pandemic has shuttered 30% of small businesses and that communities are faced with the need for resources for business attraction and revitalization and development. The Revitalization and Placemaking Program, which is known as RAP, was proposed to proactively address these issues through deployment of Federal American Rescue Plan Act funding. The RAP program is an opportunity for MSF, the Michigan Strategic Fund, to partner with local communities to address the negative impacts of the pandemic by investing in projects to promote population and tax revenue growth. And these investments will help create the environment that will attract new talent, new housing options, enable business attraction, and provide resources for Michigan citizens and communities. The program was created so that these investments can happen and local governments can avoid budget crises, retain current residents, and enhance downtown vitality.
So you mentioned that the program is being funded federally. What more detail can you provide us about that source of funding?
Well, the RAP funds are federal fiscal recovery funds that are being administered by the state of Michigan. The state's 2022 budget includes $100 million for the RAP program that can be spread throughout the state.
First of all, we're really grateful that the state recognizes how important the downtowns are in providing these funds for those capacities. What are some of the highlights of the program?
Well, it's a real estate development gap financing program. It's somewhat similar to our community revitalization program, or CRP, that the MEDC has administered on behalf of the MSF for about 10 years now. Some of your listeners will be familiar with that program and how it provides development gap financing to eligible applicants. RAP is different from CRP, though, because the funding, which is all grants, will be allocated in one or more competitive application rounds, with the first application round going live in mid-March. It's also different from CRP because in addition to traditional real estate redevelopment gap financing, the program also allows for awards that support projects that are public space or place-based infrastructure improvements, which you're familiar with in downtowns around the state. But this is a program that offers up to $1 million for those public space, place-based infrastructure projects that help to put the there there in those downtowns and help make those public spaces more attractive and useful for residents and businesses. There's also an option for partner organizations to apply for larger awards of up to $20 million to administer a sub-grant program. So that's something very unique about this, about the RAP program.
Okay, so you mentioned, we'll call it property redevelopment, revitalization. You've mentioned placemaking, and then you've mentioned the potential for having a larger sub-grant program. Are there any other ways that the program can be useful to downtown organizations?
Well, yeah, I think I should expand upon those three grant award categories just a little bit. So awards from the Michigan Strategic Fund, the minimum award amount is $500,000. But there are three categories, and the first is for grants up to $5 million for real estate rehabilitation projects. So taking a vacant or underutilized or historic building that needs to have rehabilitation done in order to attract new tenants or new users to that space, perhaps convert to a different use than what it has been in the past. That's one category. There's also, as I mentioned, grants of up to $1 million per project for public space improvements. And these projects will add or enhance permanent place-based infrastructure, including public space development, amenities like outdoor dining, streetscaping, amenities like ice skating rinks and ways to use our downtown space to attract more visitors. And then finally, there'll be those grants of up to $20 million to local or regional partners who develop a coordinated subgrant program. And those subgrants within that program can be for less than the $500,000. So the award for the subgrant program itself can be a larger amount, but that can support several smaller projects within a community or a region, or really around the state, as long as they're coordinated and strategic. So that's sort of an overview of the different types of categories. And then as far as being useful to downtown organizations, I guess I would just go back to saying it's about, you know, most communities have some vacant or underutilized buildings. They have some public space that could be activated more effectively. And I think that's really what this program is about identifying those places that need to be activated in order to have thriving communities. And of course, it is related to the pandemic as well. I can expand on that too, if you'd like.
And then it kind of just popped into my brain just a second ago. And in your introductory comments, you mentioned some statistics and some predictions about people working from home, offices, you know, maybe being less useful, et cetera, trying to find new uses for buildings, which it leads me to ask you about residential component of this. So I'm guessing that, you know, some of the program is intended to reuse property, adaptively reuse property that might have been office or commercial in nature to residential. Is that on point?
Having a mixed use downtown that includes residential uses has always been important, but having in this post-COVID period where there is a lot of office vacancy, having conversion of some of that office space into residential is a good opportunity to ensure that there's 24-hour vibrancy in those downtowns and that there's full activation of the space in order to keep our downtowns and our communities in general as lively and thriving as possible.
Okay, that's good to know, because I think a lot of communities are looking to address upper floor development as well, mm-hmm. taking especially vacant upper floor space and converting it to some other use. And residential makes a lot of sense for that space. So it's good to know that this is an opportunity to capitalize on that. So the program is intended, as you mentioned, to address effects of the pandemic. In the application process or the review process that you're going to be using to gauge what the effects of the pandemic were, or in other words, how do you qualify or relate a potential project to the pandemic?
Yeah, thanks for asking about this. So all of the RAP projects must be responsive to the negative public health or economic impacts of the pandemic. and must fit within one of the reporting categories that that are set out by the federal government related to this funding. The State and Local Fiscal Recovery Fund Final Rule Overview is a great resource to gain an understanding of how a response to a pandemic-related harm can be developed. And that's the language that they use. And so as we look at, you know, how has the pandemic harmed communities, what has happened related to businesses closing and space being left vacant, the way that that's described in order to qualify, there is some flexibility, but it has to, it starts with describing that harm and then describing how the proposed project is going to be an appropriate response to that harm. So applicants will need to describe the pandemic-related harm and provide quantitative information on the extent and type of harm, such as the number of individuals or entities affected. As an example, one of the expense categories is aid to tourism, travel, and hospitality. An applicant must be able to identify the harm caused or exacerbated by the pandemic to that industry, which includes restaurants and other hospitality businesses. An applicant must then be able to explain why the capital expenditure project is appropriate and the most effective approach to addressing that harm that's identified. So if you have a project that's creating public space that supports small businesses or attracts visitors to your downtown, or is rehabilitating a vacant space so that it can be used for new tenants, tying those investments to a strategy for reversing the COVID-related harm is the key. Does that make sense?
It does make sense. And at the very end of my questions, we'll ask for where people can find out more about this. So I'm going to hold that question for now, because I think having access to that final rule is going to be really important for people to review as they're considering their applications, which is a great segue to my next question, which is, what will the application process be like?
Well, a draft application is currently on the program website, which is michiganbusiness.org/wrap. And as you mentioned, we can get back to that later. But the final application, which will be a web-based application, will go live on the same website in mid-March. And there'll be at least 60 days to complete the application. I had mentioned earlier that there's three different categories of award. And so an applicant will be applying for one of those three categories. And we currently anticipate that the applications will be due in late May. The applications will be competitively scored, and those applications that have the highest scoring and that represent the broadest geographic distribution will be selected to move forward for Michigan Strategic Fund Board consideration.
Okay, so that leads me to another question. What about communities and that aren't, let's say, prepared at this point in time for an application, even though you've mentioned applications being available in mid-March and due, you know, perhaps 60 days later? Is there going to be any opportunity for communities to apply after that date if the funds are not allocated in that first round?
Yes, there's going to be one round. There may be additional, and it'll all depend on how many applications, how many high scoring qualified applications come in that first round as to whether or not there would be a second.
And what will make a strong application? What are you looking for as far as, you know, what's going to cause a project to rise to the top?
Several things. So project readiness, local support for the project, that description of the COVID impact and the response, long-term impact. You know, we want these investments to have a long-term positive impact on the community, capacity of the applicant to complete the project and to complete all the reporting requirements. And there's location preference, which is given to projects in qualified census tracts, and also location preference for projects that are in traditional downtowns.
And do the projects need to be what I'll call shovel ready? Can they be in process, you know, with again, the pandemic has affected businesses, but they've also affected, you know, organizations where sometimes projects aren't shovel ready at a specific point in time, but they are progressing down a path. So do projects need to be shovel ready, or are they, is it appropriate if they're just under development at this point in time?
It really depends on the complexity of the project. The federal program requirements include deadlines for funds to be obligated by December 31st of 2024 and expended by December 31st of 2026. Therefore, the project being shovel ready is important for RAP projects, especially the more complicated investments. And meeting those deadlines will be essential to the success of the program. For less complex projects or those that don't take as much time to construct, there may be more flexibility.
Yeah, that's important, I think, to mention, because we've heard so much about delays in construction because of supplies and labor issues. And so having a little bit of time to prepare and implement will be important. So Laura, you filled us in quite a bit on a lot of the basics about the revitalization and placemaking program. If someone were interested in finding out more information, where are the sources or the best places to look?
Well, the program website is www.michiganbusiness.org/RAP. That website has the program guidelines. It has an extensive question and answer document, a recorded webinar, and the draft application. In addition, I recommend that looking at the federal information is also super helpful. So the state and local fiscal recovery fund final rule and final rule overview at treasury.gov are great resources. And then, you know, don't hesitate to reach out to your MEDC community assistance team specialist. These are the people that we call the CAT team, and they're located around the state and available to help answer questions about specific projects and applications. So if you don't know your CAT team specialist, please reach out to me and I'd be happy to connect you.
Okay, you just answered my last question, which would be specifically that. Where would we find our CAT team rep? But most of us should know who that rep is. But if not, especially for those who are newer to the career field, it's a great resource. Usually the CAT team reps are very knowledgeable about all the different programs offered by MEDC, not just this one in particular. So shout out to them as well. But Lori, thank you so much for taking some time out of your day to share some of the basics of this really, I guess, once in a career program that's going to be available to communities to assist with redevelopment and placemaking projects, pandemic related, of course. But again, thank you for your time today. And we appreciate the involvement of the MEDC and its support.
Thank you, Annette. Look forward to seeing all these projects be implemented, and really appreciate the opportunity to talk about the program.
Well, thank you again.
Thank you.
And you've been listening to In My Downtown, a podcast by
The Michigan Downtown Association would like to extend a special thanks to the Michigan Economic Development Corporation for its partnership, and to Governor Gretchen Whitmer and the state legislature for their financial and philosophical support of downtowns. Thanks again.